It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Brett Favre has put his weight behind a bill in Illinois that would ban tackle football for kids under the age of 12. Favre, who is, of course, the former Green Bay Packers quarterback, is worried about a traumatic brain injury known as CTE that is affecting many former NFL players. Favre has said that he fears that he may end up suffering from CTE. We most definitely want to hear from you this hour. Parents, do you let your child play football, or have you said no? Why should tackle football be banned for kids under 12? And does CTE affect how or if you watch football anymore? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Lee Eagle is a clinical associate professor at New York University's Tisch Institute for Global Sport. He's also a contributor to Forbes, where he writes about various aspects of sports and sports business. And Lee is here to talk to us about concussions, about football, about CTE. Welcome, Lee.
Good morning.
So Brett Favre is a somewhat beloved figure here in Wisconsin. He's throwing his weight behind legislation in Illinois that would ban tackle football for kids under 12. What do you make of this idea and this legislation?
Hey, well, Brett Favre, somebody who people there might know a little something of, as you mentioned.
Something, yes.
just a little bit. Is very much, though, behind this move toward legislation around concussions and youth tackle football. And what's to be made of it is there's a small but growing movement around exactly that, not allowing children under the age of 12 years to play tackle football. And it opens up really a whole host of areas of conversation about everything from concussions and CTE to youth sports and how we should be playing, when it should be played, why it should be played. Mm. So this is some legislation that crosses over into a few different areas.
So as a culture, we've been talking about the risk for professional football for a while, but we're talking about adults. Is there anything that kids face that is unique because their brains are still developing?
Well, you said it. Kids' brains are still developing, and there isn't much beyond that that I think we need to really explore on sort of a surface level, because the science there is pretty clear. Their brains are not yet fully formed. Their bodies, by the way, are not yet fully formed.
Right.
And what that gets into is sort of one of these areas of discussion is the relationship between what we see adults doing in athletic activity and what children should be doing in athletic activity. Oftentimes, they're two very different things.
So are we pushing our children too hard? I mean, I've heard of kids as young as age 11 having rotator cuff surgery or other, you know, sports injuries that we normally associate with adults. Are we pushing them too hard physically as well as mentally?
Great question, and one that's certainly being explored and one that has plenty of controversy. So on the physical side of it, there's a pretty good argument that, yes, we are pushing our kids too far. You know, in general, by and large, pushing them too far, too fast to be bigger, faster, stronger. And the tough pull on that is something that we've all sort of probably been through at one point or another, which is if you want to achieve something at a high level, mm-hmm. right, you want to make it to the pros, in any profession, in any industry, what does it take to do it? And so we start, where do we, all human beings, where do we look? We look at the high achievers, at the people who have really done it. And we start to see things in those high achievers and try to use it as a model. So what we like are these stories about somebody like Tiger Woods.
Right.
Arguably one of the all-time great golfers, without getting into that discussion. And there's this lovely story about him being, you know, 18 months old, sitting in a high chair in his family's garage, watching his father hit golf balls. And then we move it 18 years later, and we see he's already on this arc to be one of the greatest players of all time. And you can almost go across. It's the Williams sisters in tennis, Wayne Gretzky in hockey. pick your sport, mm-hmm. pick your person, Mozart, you know, we can go all over here.
Right.
But, you know, look, they all did it at an early age. They were already achieving, and here are the different elements that made up their greatness. So we look for those sources. And once you start to get into that mentality, it's not a far leap to go, okay, well, if we just push our children this much more, won't they be the ones who get into the right high school, get into the right college, get a scholarship, go to the pros, make a earn a bunch of money, gain some fame? So you know, start to imagine the connections there.
So that leads me, this may be too philosophical for this discussion, but why do we covet greatness so much? Why can't we just cover being good people?
Oh, my goodness. I guess that's the question of the day. Let's sit with that one.
Okay, fine. Let's sit with that one. I'm going to move on because that's like, sort of like underlying this whole thing, but it was unspoken. So I spoke it. I want to go to Aaron Hernandez. First of all, we are talking with Lee Eagle from the Institute for Global Sports, and we're talking about concussions, specifically football and the risk of CTE and Brett Favre's support of a bill in Illinois that would ban tackle sports for people under the age of 12 in Illinois. I want to go to Aaron Hernandez here. He was a former New England Patriots player who was convicted of murder. He was described as violent since he was a teenager. I've read accounts where his personality kind of changed when his dad died. That's what they are ascribing that to. He hung himself in jail when he was 27 years old. And when the autopsy was done, we all discovered that not only did he have CTE, but he had advanced CTE, the kind of disease that normally doctors don't even see in older patients, but certainly would have only seen in older patients. How much of a wake-up call was that for football?
Well, what a question, because here again, we've got an example, an extraordinary case that's almost the flip side of what we were just discussing. And it brings in another component here on the mental side that we didn't get to when we just spoke about the physical. And the Aaron Hernandez case, or the Aaron Hernandez example, goes down so many different roads because it gets into, first of all, it gets into CTE, as you mentioned. That's one of the first things that we flag there. And the truth is, although there is mounting evidence toward a relationship between concussions and CTE, the science isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not there. There's nothing conclusive about it. There are signs that point to it. But we still don't know exactly how somebody like Brett Favre ends up in the condition that he's in, all told, versus Aaron Hernandez, versus any other player who's made it through, you know, Tom Brady,
right,
for example. So we just don't know. And you know, a little bit nature, nurture, all of it's mixed in there. But what the Aaron Hernandez case brings up is certainly is a wake-up call for the NFL on a lot of levels. One, about concussions. Two, about players as people and how they're brought up, how they're developed, and then how they're treated as NFL players. And then we get into a whole criminal element, and you know, there's some really sort of interesting and sordid pieces about all of those elements sort of coming together and who Aaron Hernandez was as an individual and who he was as a football player and how both of those lives sort of played out on the field and in his personal life.
I should note that Dr. Anne McKee, who did the autopsy for Aaron Hernandez, she's with Boston University CTE Center. She said that there is a concern that we're seeing accelerated disease in young athletes. Whether or not that's because they're playing more aggressively or if they're starting at younger ages, we don't know. But we are seeing ravages of this disease in this specific example of a young person. And she specifically said what you said a few minutes ago. There is no causal link. We are seeing anecdotal evidence that they are related, but there's been no specific science that says, yes, this is related. But with Aaron Hernandez, my question is, he was violent as a kid. He ended up with his traumatic brain injury after he died. What came first, the violence or the traumatic brain injury?
Therein, the great question and the work being done at Boston University and some other places around the country to try to figure out those kinds of questions. We just don't know. And that's the tough part about this conversation, not having it with you, but just the conversation about concussions in general, that there is just so much that we don't know. So back to an earlier point, for a child who's 8 years old, who's playing tackle football, we just don't yet know what changes to the brain there might be as a result of the training and the participation that he or she's involved in.
That was a beautiful way to get back to the point of the show, which is that Illinois is considering banning football for tackle football for people under 12. We're exploring that this morning, and we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Chronic brain injury has been on the minds of NFL players and fans for a few years now. Brett Favre is speaking up about the dangers of tackle football. He's supporting a bill in Illinois that would ban tackle football for kids under 12. So we want to know what you think. Should tackle football be banned for kids under 12? Parents, do you let your child play football, or have you said no? Why or why not? Have you stopped watching football over health concerns, over things like concussions and CTE? We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. You can email us today. We're getting a lot of emails at ideas@WPR.org. Keep those coming. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We love tweets. Lee Eigel from the Institute for Global Sport. We've got an email or a caller, an email saying, I would never let my son play football. Even with the changes in youth football, it's still unsafe. I worry about kids not reporting injuries because they want to play and they don't want to be benched because of concussion protocol. I have heard about this too, that, you know, we have a concussion protocol now and we're trying to keep kids safe, but there is kind of a stigma to that.
Yeah, there is. And by the way, if anybody's been watching, if any of the listeners have been watching the World Cup, we've already seen this come up at the pro level. And so you can imagine this trickles down to the youth level. Really, that email hits at one of the tough issues with concussions here, because everybody wants to be out on the field playing. Mm-hmm. And especially as we go up in age and skill level, see, you know, there's a roster spot, and so the competition for that is pretty intense. Once a player is, I don't want to play because I've got this concussion or I can't play, you know, we're moving toward this idea that that's something to be watched, that coaches and parents and players themselves are paying attention to. But at the end of the day, it's tough to find an athlete. And then increasingly tough to find a parent and a coach who, in the moment, when there's a decision to be made, sort of says, yeah, pull the kid or pull the player. It doesn't happen. It's something that when we're sitting in a classroom or you sit, you know, some of the legislation that we're talking about has an online component to it, that everybody, that there are certain people have to go through online training. Mm-hmm. And same thing in the classroom. We sort of all sit around and go, of course, we would never put a child in harm's way. Well, get out on the field in the heat of the moment, and it's a different story.
You know, you were talking about the pro level. I remember that Tom Brady was a replacement for Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe was the Patriots' starting quarterback, and then he got hurt, and Tom Brady was the replacement and won the Super Bowl that year, and Drew Bledsoe lost his job. So there's a real issue here about, you know, being on the roster and playing hurt.
Yeah, you just brought up another extraordinary case. There it is. And although Drew Bledsoe had a fine career and is doing fine, you know, for the most part in life, you know, everybody wants to be Tom Brady. Not so many people want to be Drew Bledsoe.
We are talking about youth tackle football and tackle football in general, concussions and injuries that can come. So we're talking with Lee Eigel from the Institute of Global Sport. We know that youth tackle football is down, that participation is down. According to data from the Aspen Institute, the number of kids ages 6 to 17 has dropped 19% between 2011 and 2016. That's pretty drastic. Can we chalk that up solely to health concerns, Lee Eigel?
I don't think we can chalk it up to only health concerns. Some of the issue here is that it's easy to look at what's going on in the drop in viewership and participation in American football, and they'd point to concussions and violence. But we've had these discussions before. It really looks like there are some other factors that are contributing to it, and probably just making it happen a little bit faster than it might have. People's interest in sports and sports participation changes over time, and I think plenty of people would have been laughing even a few years ago. You would have said anything about esports,
right?
Popularity and this whole question about whether they're athletes or not. Sort of beyond that question, going, this thing is a phenomenon and it's real, and so some of the participation that and the time and money and talent that was being spent on a sport like American football, wild popularity, is now just changing. Things change.
So that is a good point. Advocates say that football is being unfairly singled out, that concussions can actually happen in soccer and hockey and other contact sports. Do they have a point, Lee?
They do, and certainly concussion, any time that people are going out on a field of play where there are other human beings, there's a chance, there's a risk of injury, and concussion is one of those. We start finding, again, more and more in things like headers in soccer, international football. There's evidence that there might be subconcussive hits, and there's all sorts of micro-concussions and all these sorts of things that are going on just because there is some trauma to the head. But I want to put to you and to listeners a little bit about what might be some of the reason football is getting the brunt of it. And I think if you cut through things, part of the reason is that the NFL was slow to really coming around to, no pun intended, tackling the concussion issue, and so many other sports, while not perfect, were better about getting ahead of it.
We are taking your calls, talking about tackle football and the possible dangers. 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. We were just talking about whether soccer is safer than football, and Tom from Madison has something to say on that. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Kerry. I just wanted to say that, you do get injuries in soccer, but I think overall football is extremely more dangerous. And honestly, I don't really plan on watching very much football anymore. For the first thing is basically half the game, they're standing around. In the game of soccer, you watch the World Cup right now, they are running all the time. If we want to promote exercise, agility, and, fitness in youth, they need to be playing soccer, even if there is some risk of head injury in soccer. But they will be moving, not standing around in a huddle. And I think that the game is superior, and I hope American football vanishes from the scene.
Thank you for that, Tom. So that actually brings something up, which is that the world, Lee, loves what they call football because it's played with your feet. We call it soccer because we had another game called football. It is the most popular game in the world, and American football has superseded that by far in this country. But is it starting to change as people kind of look and go, too many head injuries or too violent?
Yeah, and with thanks to Tom for that call, because what he summed up for the most part is what the NFL and the larger youth leagues fear most. He really just summed up a lot of the emotion and the thought behind why football looks like it's on the decline. American football looks like it's on the decline. And to an earlier point, same thing we have happening here. Here comes another sport. International football, what in the States we call soccer, and it's on the rise. And that's in large part due to some incredible work by international clubs and international teams coming stateside. So just as the NFL is looking to export the sport to Europe and has a lot of great events, so too has international football come stateside. And Major League Soccer has really come into its own.
Right.
So,
and we also can't forget the World Cup women's soccer team, which won a few years ago. And winning is a big thing for the people in the U.S.
Winning is a big thing. It's important. And women's soccer, the women's national soccer team on the world stage is far better.
Right.
Unquestionably than the men's team. And so the attention there certainly grabbed attention at the right time with a World Cup win and some terrific marketing that followed it. But soccer as a sport is really, this is one of those same kind of thing as with something like esports. I mean, those are probably the two big ones mm-hmm. along with the NBA where we see them on the rise from a business standpoint. And I just wanted to say it's where we just see this big movement toward new attention to old sports and ones where people had said, well, you know what, it'll never catch on here. It's caught on.
We are talking about tackle football and how safe it may be, especially for kids under 12. Brett Favre has put his weight behind a bill in Illinois to ban tackle football for kids under 12. We're taking your calls on this, 800-642-1234. We're also taking your emails, ideas@WPR.org. Do you still like watching football? Has the violence kind of turned you off? Do you let your kids play football? Would you let your kids play football? 800-642-1234. Lee Eagle, I've got to tell you that I have had a problem kind of watching football since last September when Devontae Adams was knocked out by the Bears' Danny Trevathan. It was pretty brutal. I walked away from that. I could not watch football for like 3 weeks. Are you hearing other people say that too?
Yeah, you are not alone. And there's a younger generation that is also feeling the same way, and that's cutting across all the sort of different demographic categories beyond just age. We're just seeing a growing, that kind of impression is just growing, it's increasing. And interestingly enough, although it may be a number of those incidents or events sort of stacking up, it's kind of interesting to hear. Most people who are going to report that or say what you just said really just have one that seems to be the breaking point, and it's pretty vivid.
Well, Anne in Madison also called to say that she loves or loved, she's got a question mark here, watching the Packers play, and she looks forward to it every fall, but she is struggling just like I am. Is it okay to be a fan?
Sure, it's okay to be a fan, and it's another great question from a caller. This is really tough because it's about what sports means to us as people and as a community. So, oh my goodness, the Packers without Green Bay and Green Bay without the Packers,
right?
It doesn't make much sense.
Right.
It's not possible. And, you know, what are we going to and Vince Lombardi, and oh, my goodness, I won't start going down the list of names.
Right.
But it's all of that. So it's very emotional. And I think that's really what a thing to look at as people make decisions about just sort of the way they live their lives, that they're even thinking about, they're contemplating sort of cutting that off is pretty powerful.
I'd like to go back to Brett Favre for a moment. I want to play this exchange between Favre and CNN's Christiane Amanpour in an interview earlier this year.
How does one make the game safer? And are the ways that the NFL has responded sufficient?
How do you make the game safer? You don't play.
You don't play. Lee, is that the only way to make football safer?
Well, it's that's certainly something to hear from somebody like Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And you know, he's not alone. I mean, just one example, Harry Carson, who played for the New York Giants and is in the Hall, a member of the Hall of Fame, is going to do the same thing. He won't let his grandchildren play. And part of the thinking behind that from the likes of Brett Favre, Harry Carson, bunches of others, is basically that the rules of the game are such that if you made enough modifications, it wouldn't be football anymore. So their alternative is to basically say, we're not in a get out, don't play.
So, but football, NFL football anyway, is a $14 billion annual sport. It is not going to go away soon. There are too many people who are going to fight. There's too much money at stake.
There's enough money for things to continue going on. And part of it, by the way, we should point out is that for a lot of the talk about people being turned away, NFL football, in terms of television viewership, it still knocks out almost everything else on television.
Especially
in the
Super Bowl, right?
By far. And you could even move the Super Bowl out of that. You know, so you might get like one episode of The Bachelorette, like the finale, or, you know, like one of these things. And otherwise, it's NFL football, NFL football, and NFL football. Go down the list, the top 10, the top 20. So it's not going away anytime soon. But it's going to be interesting to watch and see how the game is modified and how it is that people consume it. Because, again, I think that's really what's going on. It's not that we didn't know that football was a violent sport, but it's just really a cultural change and just a different time and different impressions. And the sport is going to have to figure out ways to change with it, or risk becoming irrelevant.
Well, we know that football, what we know now is that people have been hurt long term. You know, as we started seeing these retired NFL players come down with CTE and it has been linked to football, that's what people are afraid of. We are talking about youth tackle football and tackle football in general and the longevity of the NFL. I have to say that the NFL is the reason that fall is my favorite season. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Email us. We're getting quite a few emails today at ideas@WPR.org. We love when you tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are going to be taking one more call before our break. Barb from Blue Mound, welcome to the program.
Hi. Yes, I had to make a terrible decision. It was really tough. My son loved hockey, and he was getting interested more and more in football. And he went down on the ice, and they had the flashlights out, and he was one of the smaller kids. And at that age, at those ages, one thing to mention is the size differential in boys is huge. So he was one of the pipsqueaks, but fast. And the other boys, some of them were beginning to have beards. And
wow.
So they were tall and huge. And I looked into the not only concussion rate for both of those sports, but spinal cord injuries, because the kids are getting hit too hard.
Okay, Barb, we are going to take your answer from Lee Eagle from the Institute of Global Sport after our break. Thank you so much for that. It's The Morning Show. It's It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Brett Favre is speaking up about the dangers of tackle football and chronic brain injury. We just heard a few minutes ago that Brett Favre told Christiane Amanpour that the only safe way to play football is to not play it. He's supporting a bill in Illinois that would ban tackle football for kids under 12. But football, NFL football, is a $14 billion industry, and it is a way of life for people in this country. So what do you think? Should tackle football be banned for kids? Do you let your kids play the game? Can we make football, tackle football, maybe safer? Are there ways to make this safer? 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Lee Eagle of New York University's Tisch School, Tisch Institute for Global Sport is taking us through this today. And Lee, we have a lot of phone calls. We're going to get to some right now. Rocky from Hillsboro, welcome to the program. Rocky, are you there? We are pushing buttons. Rocky, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call. I've had a chance to play both football and soccer when I was a kid. And I agree that soccer is a very nice sport for, but I think I go along with the former Badger coach, a football coach, what he said. He said, when you're a kid, soccer is great. It's running, it's exercise, it's agility, it's all these good things. But he said, when you grow into be a man, you play football. And I think football is purely an American type sport. There isn't anything else around the world unless you talk about rugby or something like that. But I think it would be kind of, we'd be a little bit less America if we didn't have football. I know that's pretty stupid to say.
No, it's not.
But, like you, it's about the only thing I look forward to toward fall and winter is football.
I agree. Playing in the snow, watching them play in the snow, watching a pass just kind of sail through the air and be caught with somebody's fingertips as they roll into the end zone. I could be a sports announcer. But it's like, it's one of my favorite things in the world. So I appreciate that, Rocky. Lee Eagle, football is uniquely American. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I was waiting for somebody there to cue the NFL films while you and Rocky were talking. It's American. It's Americana. It's everything that you described, and I think you could hear in. I hope people could hear in the conversation you just had the emotional mm-hmm. attachment that people have to it, and this is one of the areas that those of us who are following this kind of thing and working it or paying attention to, and I know they are at the NFL, how do you close that gap between the emotion and the science behind it all? And the emotion, you know, usually wins out, but the science is coming closer. It's made it having a pretty good go at the emotion.
And the science is starting to, as Anne said in her email, and that I'm starting to feel, the science is starting to kind of kick into our emotions as we see people getting hurt and realize that this is a real thing and that this could cause lasting brain damage. Taylor from Milwaukee, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. I played football when I was younger as a kid. And actually, I had to stop playing because I had a serious, almost life-threatening injury from it. I basically broke my neck and had a C1, C2 spinal fusion.
Wow.
At age 13. From playing football, I got tackled by the head and neck snapped around. And it's something, you know, it took me like 10 years to be able to kind of watch football again. And when there's like a serious injury, I think last year when Devontae Adams got hit in the head in that Bears game, I was nauseous. Like, it's something that's like really difficult for me to witness. But even besides that, you know, the worst case scenario injury, and you know, it was a miracle I wasn't paralyzed or even dead from that. I even played another game after I had that injury because all the coaches thought, oh, you just, you know, pulled a muscle in your neck. So I played another game with a dislodged C1 vertebrae. And besides that, I mean, I probably had four or five concussions. My elbows currently, you know, they pop when I move them. My ankles pop. And that was just playing from age, you know, 10 to 13. So I can't imagine what it's like when,
so
you know,
I have got a question for you, Taylor. How old are you?
I am 27 right now.
So you're 27, and you're already starting to see injuries now as an adult from that injury and from playing football as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even besides the neck thing, which, you know, I deal with, it's basically a chronic stiff neck. The back of my head is numb from when they did the surgery to cut through some nerve endings. My range of motion is limited, but even besides that, I mean, I don't know what kind of damage, like five concussions that were like diagnosed, you know, does to a brain at that young age. And the, you know, the sore elbows, the sore ankles, there's bones on my foot that stick out just from like that level of play as a kid. So these adults that are doing it, or college or high school, I mean, where the rate, the speed of the play is more the the force is, you know, infinitely more powerful, what that's doing to the body. And I know I have a 2.5-year-old son. I wouldn't let him play football as much as I loved it as a kid. There's no way.
Thank you, Taylor, for that. I hope you are healthy for the rest of your life. And the science on this, as Lee Eagle has said, is inconclusive at this point. So we'll see how this turns out as the decades go by. Thank you for that very much. I appreciate you calling, Taylor. We're going to Mike in Milwaukee. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I kind of wanted to just get your guest's take on, there's been, you know, some discussion of the fact that actually safety equipment that has been added to the game over certainly the last 25 years has actually increased the rate of the specific types of injuries that, for instance, Brett Favre is talking about and that you're talking about, as a result of the fact that prior to the point that you had hard helmets, which were, you know, significantly padded, that those players would not execute spearing moves with their head, would not lower their head into a tackle.
That's an excellent question, Mike. We're going to put this to Lee Eagle. That we put safety equipment into football, and that made people more comfortable to take more risks because they had the safety equipment on. What do you think of that, Lee?
Yeah, certainly a great point, and one not without controversy. A little tribute here to Jack Parker, who was the hockey coach for decades at my alma mater, Boston University, who swore by the same thing. He said, get these visors out of the game and these face masks, get them out of the college game, because it makes everybody who's on the ice that much more intense. It makes them go faster and stronger and harder. They think that, you know, that they can go at it. So there is a lot to that, and I think it also brings up another point, which is that some of that protective equipment truly does protect, but some of it is just kind of there. So let me take it out of American football for a moment and say, just in the World Cup, there was an event, an incident a couple weeks ago with a player for Morocco who sustained a concussion, and it's actually kind of the video on it is, you just go watch it, because he's down on the ground. Other players come over with water bottles and start squirting him in the face. Then he gets picked up, and the team medical staff starts slapping him in the face to get him to come to. It was like out of the old schools, or, you know, get up, rub dirt on it, and walk it off, and get back out there. He ended up sustaining a concussion. He was diagnosed at the hospital. He was supposed to be out for 6 days. 5 days later, he's back out on the pitch, playing in the next match, and he had this sort of protective skull cap almost, which probably didn't do anything other than just be there.
Right.
And he decided 16 minutes in, take it off, and he chucked it to the sideline and just stayed in the game and may have sustained another concussion on a play. But it's all to that point about protective equipment. That's a long way, maybe a professor's way of getting to there's a good chance that the protective equipment is making people out of the field feel a little bit more invincible than they really are.
We are talking about tackle football and equipment and the safety or lack of safety thereof, given that Brett Favre has supported a bill in Illinois that would ban tackle football for people under 12. We're taking your calls in the last few minutes here, 800-642-1234. We've got Bob from Platteville. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'd like to comment my experience with a sports and traumatic brain injury. I used to participate in competitive bicycle road races.
I had an
accident in a race. My helmet saved my life, but it left me with a traumatic brain injury for the rest of my life. There is no recovery. There is only rebuilding. Concussions are brain injuries, period. Each concussion subtracts from your brain status. You lose with each concussion. I will have my traumatic brain injury for the rest of my life. The only cure is prevention. No to tackle football. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob. I also should tell you, Lee, that I tried in my youth to do competitive bicycle racing and stopped for that reason, because it when you're starting out, especially you're in a scrum and people are actually pushing each other, and it can be very, you can be going fast and it can be very dangerous. What do you say to people who are like, any sort of contact sport? Even one like bicycling, which you don't think of as a contact sport, is dangerous.
Yeah, well, I don't know about in Wisconsin, but I know around here and plenty of other parts on a daily basis, just getting out on a bicycle and riding it like to work or recreationally is, taking a risk. And there's even some research on that, that wearing a helmet makes people get involved in riskier decisions. They just take some more chances than they would out in traffic or out in the scrum of a competitive bike race. But to all that, there are a couple of things that I think the callers are speaking to that are worth pointing out here. But one of them is about how we balance the short term and the long term.
Right.
And that's really one of the things that's at the heart of this kind of conversation.
We're going to have to end the conversation here, Lee. I'm sorry. We have explored the relationship between football and health on the morning show, our relationship to the game, and is this game we love might be hurting the people that are playing it. Lee Eagle is a clinical associate professor at New York University's Tisch Institute for Global Sports. He joined us today. Thank you very much, sir.
Great talking with you.